All right, so let's just jump right into it, everybody. I won't even recap last week because I don't remember. I apologize about the podcast. The website Bluehost, the hosting people, were having issues, and it actually wasn't something I did, which was surprising to me, but we got it sorted out. So thank you for the folks who asked about it, and I do know lots of you catch up with the podcast when you miss, which I think is a cool resource, and that's why I spend the time to do it. It's nice to be able to, right? So you always know where we're at, and we can follow along as a family. And also, it's a great resource for, oh, you go to that church? What's it like? Well, check it out. You don't have to go, but just click on the thing. You can hear the guy. You can hear the dude. You can see what you can hear. What we're all about. You know what I mean? Anything we can do to open the doors to people coming to the understanding of Christ as God and as personal Savior. So we're just going to jump right into it. I took a topic today, and I want to explore it, but I really like where it led me, and I get to use a physical illustration, and we're not talking about physics or anything, so that's cool, right? I will try to be better with penmanship, too. I write like a drunk chimpanzee. I always have. You know what, though? I shouldn't go off on this. They say that we teach our kids too early penmanship. Do you know that? I was reading a study, especially boys, and that's what I do. I blame everybody else. That's So, okay, but in our walks with God, and we got to understand, of course, the priority is changing and growing more into Christ's likeness. We understand that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That is a direct quote from the Bible. That is a priority for the Lord our God, okay? It's important to sometimes go back to basics or just focus on foundational things once in a while. That's what we're going to do today. Sometimes, guys, and some of us come out of systems, and I don't think about this stuff throughout the week. Some of us come out of systems where it was do this or don't do that was our focus. And we're in a process of coming out of those systems going, wait, what's this relationship stuff that God is always talking about? But I thought it was form and ritual, or I thought it was check the box, or I thought it was stay away from these places and don't say these words as the first thing first. And the reality of it all is God is saying relationship is first. And that's why we're saying how he loves. I want our hearts to be in a posture of the fact that you start with, he calls himself Heavenly Father, correct? It's a relationship. So all the stuff, the doing, and all this sort of stuff does not seem to be God's priority for his children. Not the first things first. That stuff always follows, but do I have Samuel to start us off? Okay, a familiar story. Let's look at a piece of history. 1 Samuel 16, if you're listening online, and if you are, welcome. The Lord said to Samuel, who was a prophet back then, he said, okay, stop, I got to give you a backstory. They were looking for a king to replace Saul, who had blown everything up. And so God at that time spoke through prophets. They had the Holy Spirit, just like we do. And this is what we see. We see Samuel went to a family. Guy had 7 sons. And he was looking to see who it was that God wanted to anoint as king. And he said to Samuel, hey, whoa, whoa. Don't consider that specific guy's appearance or his height. I've rejected him. He's not the one. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And we love that, and we know it. But it's very, very important. It's very important. We can't let this become a trite thing, guys. But you know how I tend to think. What is heart? Heart, right? Is this a Hallmark card? I mean, what is heart? What is he talking about that he looks at? Because this could be pretty important. If that's where God's looking, then what's happening? The heart is our collection of thoughts, feelings, experiences, like pretty much the essence of who we really are. Another word for heart in this would be your soul. You see what I'm saying? Your spirit is a part of who you are. It's God's. But the soul is like who you really are. The experiences, thoughts, opinions, ideas, everything that is your soul. So you could essentially say the Lord looks at the soul. He doesn't look at the stuff that society looks at. Body shape, size, income, height, muscles, right? Calves, the way you dress, your home. None of that stuff seems to matter to the Lord our God. He looks at who you are. He understands truly who you are. And he's very interested in our hearts. And let's not lose that. Like, if you've been in church a while or you're walking with God, don't ever let that lose its luster. That's a big deal. That's a very big deal. We serve a God who is not just interested in being served. Bow down and worship me. We worship a personal God who cares who you are, wants to see you. Do you know, guys, there are people probably sitting in this room who went the majority of their lives feeling like they've never were truly known by anyone. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? never had someone get close to them in their lives. And this is what our father is saying. This is not the God some of us grew up serving. Some of us thought God was way up there with a whip behind his back waiting to beat us up. But God is interested and looks at who you really are. Dynamite, you guys. Look at the other faith systems people have made up in this world. Sorry, I'm not very politically correct. Okay? Serve this one. Do that. Do this in my name and all that. God is going, I want to know who you are. I know you. You are known by me. Let's do this journey together. And that's beautiful, guys. So I want to, let's dig a little more. You're just going to get inside of AJ's scary little mind today, okay? It's not always going to make sense. So God looks at the heart. What is the heart? Blah, blah. I got a question for you. Does God have a heart? Does God have feelings? Okay, cool. We may know that, but let's get it down deep because I think this is important. It's an important question to ask of the one we worship. Does he have feelings? So often we see his hand that we don't focus on his heart. What I mean by we see what he does, right? He did this, he did that. We see his hand. We don't see his heart. Or for example, we see his power and we forget about his passion inside. This is the one we serve. And here's the thing, as a preacher, you're always tempted to, well, why would I talk about that? How's that going to work for us? Sometimes, guys, it's just got to be about God. Okay? I want to learn about God, and if it applies, cool. But this is the one we serve. It's not always about us. Does God have feelings? Let's answer that question. I see a story in the, okay, blah, blah. We all know David was called a man after God's own heart. And I spoke a while about that. When you're after something, it means you're pursuing it, right? David was a man after God's own heart. Oh, by the way, that's who eventually does get anointed in this story. It's just ironic that I arrived there. But David was pursuing to know God's heart. David was pursuing to know who God really was. We've just said that about his heart, right? So man after God's own heart is a man who says, I'm going to spend time with God. I want to get to know him. I want to build a relationship. David was a man after God, who God was. He followed him and pursued him in relationship. Understand that? He pursued it. And so I want to say this. Maybe he's a good one to study about the heart of God. If he was a man after God's own heart, maybe he's somebody to study. So let's look at a piece of his history. It's a dark time in David's life. All right, real quick. David was king and unites all of Israel for the first time. Oh, happy day, right? Then something bizarre happens. I'm not going to get into it. I'm not, because it's a bit of a mystery in the Bible. Anyway, David calls a census, and he calls all the people together to be counted. And the Lord gets very angry. What? That's weird. Well, you might not know this. In Hebrew history at that time, it was obvious you could only count what was yours. So when David called the census, that was him saying, these are my people. And the guy who walked side by side with God and always called them your people, God, just counted everybody as though they were his. Everybody in public would have known what that meant too. So when you see something in the Bible and you don't understand it, it doesn't look like Jesus, what do I say? We might not understand it. And geez, that was harsh, God. Is God harsh? No, then maybe we don't understand it. So he calls a census, basically declaring that all Israel is mine, King David. Now, I don't think he truly meant it, but here's the problem. And here's what we got to teach our kids too, right? There are consequences to the things you do. Even in the age of grace and mercy, there are consequences to the things you do. What did Alex do the other day? Oh, this is a good one, because he got whacked for the first time. She's walking. I'm just going to tell a story about my kids. It might not even have anything to do with the, okay? She's walking along, and she's got the Spider-Man sheet that she wanted to play peekaboo with. And so he knows you don't grab something she's carrying because what's going to happen? One of them's going to fall. Right, exactly. So he knows this stuff. He's a sharp kid. But he grabs it, and I didn't like the look on his face. He goes like this. And I was like, ooh, I saw that. I know you. Well, she falls down, and she hits her hand on the Joker house. It's a toy. And she goes, And I went, I came over. I said, you all right? And I kissed her hand. I said, buddy, did you mean to pull her down like that? He's lying. You know what I mean? If I say what I know is true, he's going to whack me. And I'm, okay, come here. Cool. All right, come here. Turn around. Whack! And I whacked him on the butt. I was calm, but I get that sort of, you know, today's society. Jeez, was that wrong? Did I hurt my little special snowflake? You know what I'm talking about. And you could tell where I stand on that side of the fence. He needs to be whacked once in a while. He hurt his sister. And I said to him, I said, buddy, your job is to protect your sister. Remember what I said about that? I don't say don't hit your sister. I say you're her big brother. You protect her, not that behavior. Guess what? The things we do sometimes have consequences. David calls this census, thereby declaring that he is truly the king, and down the pike comes consequences. You can be saved by grace, you can be truly loved by God, but there are consequences to our actions. Go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to give you three options. You choose one of them for me to carry out against you. So Gad, if anybody's pregnant, there's a good name for a kid. So Gad went to David and said to them, this is what the Lord says, take your choice. You can either have 3 years of famine, 3 months of being swept away before your enemies with their swords overtaking you, or 3 days of the sword directly of the Lord, days of plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord ravaging every part of Israel. Now then decide how I should answer the one who sent me. Tell me and I'll go back and tell God, he says. And David said, I'm in deep distress, yes. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. Don't let me fall into the hands of man. So the Lord did send a plague in Israel. Now that stops my point, but I want you to see this play out. And 70,000 men of Israel fell dead. And God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But as the angel was doing so, guys, this is not poetry. Do you understand what I'm saying? An angel actually brought the famine and was in the process of doing it. So maybe something in the spiritual realm is being revealed here. But as the angel was doing so, the Lord saw it and was grieved. Ooh. Because of the calamity. And said to the angel who's destroying the people, enough! Withdraw your hand. And the angel of the Lord was there, then standing at the threshing floor. We just got a cool little insight as to some spiritual activity too. Again, this is not a suggestion. When this happened, it was an angel's doing, a servant of the Lord our God. But anyway, I'll touch on the end of this later, but I wanted you to see good Father holds doles out a punishment. It's full of grace and mercy. You know what I'm saying? If I left it there, you got three options. It looks like somebody he's not. So does God have a heart? Does God have emotions? And I'm gonna throw this down. Ready? I just noticed. The Lord our God, Tetragrammaton, Ichyach Asher Ichyach, as I said, the original name of God, was grieved. It's right there because of the calamity. Grieved. Does God have feelings? He just answered it. God gets angry. Let's do our next slide because I love this. When God heard this, he was wroth. Wroth means angry with fire. Isn't that awesome? This is a passionate God we serve. He gets angry with fire, right? Greatly abhorred Israel. Does God have feelings? Going back to that story about David, he knew God had feelings, and he knew God could be trusted, right? Were men more powerful, right? I mean, don't let me fall into the hands of men because they're awful and God's not powerful. No, quite the opposite, actually. David knew God's immense power, absolutely. But he knew his passion, too. He had seen his hand at work, but he knew his heart. And this is the God we serve. God, merciful, yeah, we know this, absolutely. But it's interesting because we're talking about emotions today. We're talking about heart. And it's interesting, lots of us didn't really understand that God has feelings. And his feelings can be hurt. Remember a couple weeks ago, some of you? Don't grieve, Samuel. It's not you they've rejected. It's me. Remember that? When they anoint their first king? You can see that God, now stop with the disconnect. We know Jesus is nice. We know Jesus is gentle. But we may still have that picture of God fire on the mountain. That was the Father in the Old Testament whose heart was broken. Because listen, maybe it's just me, and I'm going to babble a little bit. I don't care. I'm feeling this. Maybe it's just me, but I always thought Old Testament Father, and you couldn't get close to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus, I'd huddle by. Hey, you're safe. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But the Father was, no, that's the disciplinarian. That's the angry one. I've seen the Heston movie. I've seen what he did to Yul Brynner, right? Thank you. That joke's not going over as well anymore as we keep getting older. And the Holy Spirit was always this kind of, I don't really know. But as we're studying these things as a family for the last 2 years, I'm realizing that if I project onto Father God anything different than I project onto Christ Jesus, I'm wrong, right? Because he's the image of the Father. So does God have feelings? We see absolutely that he does. And David understood this as well. So we've showed the Father's feelings. Let's do the next one. When he saw the multitudes, Jesus himself, who is also God, was moved with compassion on them. And that shocks nobody in here. We know Jesus was compassionate, but we just saw that the Father has feelings. We saw that the son has feelings. Let's do the next one. Okay, he has moved with compassion. That's cool. And let's do the next one. I just wanted to give you two. And do not bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, also has feelings. Because you can't... Someday we'll do the Trinity, guys. Someday you'll watch me jumping jacks up here trying to explain something people can't explain. I'll talk about how water is vapor, ice, and gas at the same time, and we'll do that. We'll talk about three things that are one in nature. Oh, I almost want to go off on that because they're all actually H2O, but they look totally different, right? Anyway, so we see that the Father has feelings, the Son, of course, has feelings, and the Holy Spirit himself has feelings. Does God have feelings? Absolutely. And getting back to this for a second. No, you know what? I think we covered that. Why did I cover that? Because I want to ask you this. Does God care about our feelings? That's where I wanted to come to. Now, having a surface understanding of that is very dangerous. Having one of these understandings of that is very dangerous. So as I was writing this, the first 10 minutes were interesting. And then I stepped in this and went, oh, wow, okay, cool. That's one of the biggest problems I've ever seen in people's walk with Christ, to not understand the answer to that question. And I'll show you why. We can say yes, but I want to challenge you. This is a huge and dangerous thing. Feelings are a gift from God. We should know that, guys. People say dopamine, serotonin, all these things over your brain. Whatever it actually comes up to, I'll tell you this. They're a gift from God. The capacity to love, to like, to be fond of, all on the scale, to hurt inside, to hate, to despise. The whole lexicon of human emotions, guess what, was created by Creator. If you don't believe me, open up Ecclesiastes. There's a time to hate. There's a time for war. There's a time for love. It's all good because God created it and says it is good. Guys, sometimes, you know, we've been through it. We've lost lots and lots of people in our family. But sometimes even in sorrow is the majesty of life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You get to feel that strongly about something because you love that strongly, right? Isn't that beautiful, you guys? So don't tell me hatred's bad. I hate slavery. I hate animal abuse. Well, that doesn't sound so bad now, right? All emotions are gifts from God, but they can lie to us. They can blind us, right? They're a gift, but they can rule us. It's great to have feelings. It's not great when your feelings have you. Does God care about our feelings? Yes, but I will not just sit there and go, he cares how you feel. See ya. No, there's wisdom in this. And actually, we're going to arrive at a very cool point today. Just try to follow me. When we have intense feelings, letdowns, hurts, pain, confusion, whatever, the first thing we often do is believe the lie that God doesn't care how we feel. And that's what we're going to disarm today. The enemy says, come on, get me with me today. If he cared, you wouldn't be in this position at all. Oh, man. Now you see why I'm spending the time on this today? Because there are empty chairs in this room, and metaphorically empty chairs in my life, of people who said, okay, yeah, Jesus is king and all that. And then bumps hit their lives. Something smashes in there. And I'm not talking down to it. I'm not. Well, he can't really be a God of love, because if he did, then why am I on the prayer list? Why does this hurt so much? And the enemy goes, if he loved you or cared about how you feel, you wouldn't feel this way. And they walk away from their only source of strength, comfort, and safety. And I love my job. I love that I get to do this actually like for profession. But how irresponsible would I be to not address this when we know it's going to run into our lives? There will be a day when you're going through something and it's hard enough and it hurts enough where you're going to be tempted to think, God doesn't, it doesn't mesh. Why am I here in this courtroom, hospital room, jailhouse, whatever it may be? If he cared, I wouldn't be here. And the enemy goes, then he must not care. And some of us buy the lie because of how we feel. See where we're going today? I'm excited about this. I really am. Let me tell you a story about how this happened exactly to the disciples. A storm hits their lives. And also, quite realistically, A storm starts rocking the boat, and Jesus' best friends get scared. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Oh, I want to nerd out for a second, can I? Mike, the Sea of Galilee is a really tiny little lake, okay? They call it the sea, but it's really small. Any squall that would come up that would threaten to capsize a boat just may have actually been a spiritual attack. So they go down and so what does Jesus do? Rebukes the storm. I tend to think that was actually a spiritual battle taking place, especially if you see the Sea of Galilee. Anyway, something hits the disciples' lives, and what do? Peter runs down to the bottom of the boat and says, Jesus, don't you care? Did you get it? Yeah, I didn't just make this up. In our lives, guys, when dad dies Tuesday morning, God, don't you care? When divorce papers show up at the house, don't you care? Do you understand what I'm saying? We've all been there, man. And some of us have decided and deduced, nope, he must not. He must not. And today, I'm going to present to you a very solid choice to draw a line in the sand and say, I have decided what I'm going to believe, and I'm not letting it go. Because isn't that life just a series of choices? Why do you think we declare, you're my king, you're my king, you're my king? Because life is about what we declare. I said to her about 9 years ago, I said, I'm sticking with you no matter what. I declared that in a moment in time. Here's my line in the sand. That guides the rest of my decisions, doesn't it? I think you're following me. All right. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. What is this, like a weird Twilight Zone area? Did you hear that? It rings in my head up here. God, you must not care. You don't care about me, about us, because of how we feel. And it's a huge landmine waiting for every single one of us. I wanted to say that again, and we've all been there. A lot of the times, guys, we get overtaken by what's in front of us, and we crown, this is poetic, but I like it, we crown our situation and how we feel, we crown it with truth. How I feel must be the truth. And poetically, I want to say this, where'd you get that crown from? You must have taken it from off of Jesus' head to put it on there. In other words, how I feel is reality. I've told you this before. Tom Brady's the best quarterback. No, honey, that's just how you feel. That is not the truth. I'm not looking at Chris. Chris is a Roethlisberger fan. I'm just saying. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. It's truth. I've crowned it truth because that's how I feel. Guys, let's watch out for this. It's true. Our feelings can lead us in wrong. But let me jump ahead. Let's jump in and see a man who was backslidden. And how far, he was far from God because of willful disobedience. Because I challenge you with this. We asked the question earlier, and then I went on my tangents like I do. Does God care how we feel? Let's look at what happens to this, in this next slide, to this guy who was absolutely disobedient. Wow. Jonah? Nothing with Jonah? Sorry, buddy. I'm out of... Okay, so Jonah ran from God, looked God in the face and said, I hear what you're saying. No, not going to do it. See ya. That's what he does. But Jonah tells his story and says this, in my distress, in my toughest hour, in my, insert your situation there, I called to the Lord and he answered me. And from the depths of the grave, I called for help and you listened to my cry. Does God care how we feel? T.D. Jakes says it like this, parents, you know your kids cry. You can be doing dishes or something like that and you hear a cry and it's just Johnny just acting like a fool, right? But there's a specific cry that will make you drop that glass and get in that room. Jonah just said, God heard my cry. He heard me crying. He heard my cry. Does God care how we feel? We're going to make a decision today. Whether it's yes or no, it's up to you to make that decision. Does God care how we feel? Because when the enemy says no, we're going to say that maybe we've decided to understand and take this for truth. Jonah's saying, you heard my cry, you heard me, and it stirred you. Even though I got myself into this mess, says Jonah. That's another thing the enemy's going to say to you. Well, you did this. Then next time the enemy says, well, you got yourself in this position, or you made your bed. Maybe that's something we grew up hearing, right? Next time you think of that, well, I really shouldn't cry out to God because I knew better and I still did it. Jonah did too. You understand that? So when the enemy tells you, well, this is your fault, he's not going to help you, say, you're a liar. Because I remember the story of Jonah. He still heard his son's cry, and he came. His cry stirred God's compassion. He stirred the Father in God, and he heard him. And so let's go to Psalm 103, now that I've screwed up the order. Sorry about this. And make some decisions today. The Lord is like a father to his kids. tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Now, listen to me. I need to clear something up. That word fear, there's different words fear in the Bible. This word fear, this is of course Hebrew because it's the Old Testament. This word fear meant trusts in the intention of another person. I don't know why we chose to translate that in English as fear. When you say fear God, that specific use of the word is trust my intentions for you and know that I'm good. Other times it says fear and it means tremble. There are those. But this specific words, those who trust him and his intentions toward him. The Lord is like a dad to his kids. Tender and compassionate to those who trust him. Does God care how we feel? I don't know. Does your dad care how you feel? I'll tell you one thing about mom. Mom's dad died when she was young, 25-ish, 6-ish. But she had a really good dad. And sitting back here and watching her grow in the faith has been interesting because she actually says to me the other day, I know you won't mind me saying this, but she says, Ted laughed like he's getting it. I'm walking a thin line here. But because she had such a good dad, God gave her the wisdom to do something awesome. She took all that, those emotions and understandings of her father-daughter relationship and said, oh, well, then it must be like this with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. I didn't do that. What a fool I was. I'm just arriving here now. But this is telling us, absolutely do that. If you were fortunate enough to have a best friend type of dad, yeah, well, like that. If lots of folks didn't really have that, fine. But understand on earth, you can see it. You can see the relationship on earth. It's like that, but God is so much bigger and better. He's like a dad to his kids. And if any time you're sitting there, and like I said, you think God is going to react in any way that's opposing what a father would do, you know you're wrong. Because a father doesn't disown their kids, guys. The birth process took place. You are my family, right? Psalm 56:8, let's please. Does God care how we feel? You keep track of my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book. Does God care how we feel? Because the enemy's going to say to you, if he cared, you wouldn't be in this position. I'm building a case today, so next time, you've got it right here. Next time it comes and the enemy says, he doesn't care. Either this is true or how you feel in that moment is true. This is like putting on a piece of armor. Right, guys? It is. Because I'll tell you what, lots of people in my family, my friends, and in this world, this was the one enemy's device that got them off the path. If God cared, you wouldn't be here today. Now, we have one final point today, and I think it's pretty awesome. I want to give Joyce Meyer some credit on this one. She said something 2 weeks ago that spun me out, and I still don't understand it, but it set me on a course of looking at this sort of stuff. We're going to talk about feelings versus truth, and then we're going to go home. Oh, Packers play at 1, so trust me, we'll get out of here soon. God lives inside of us believers, and this is not a trite thing. If you're listening for the first time, just understand this. This is very elaborate. Somehow, the Spirit of God no longer dwells on a mountain, no longer dwells in the Ark of the Covenant, no longer dwells behind a veil. It now dwells, for the believer, right inside of each and every one of us. Don't ever downplay that. God Himself lives within you. Well, am I going to go to heaven? He's inside of you. Where do you think He's going to go? Back home. Yes, you've got a seal, an eternal life inside of you. Never once shall we ever walk alone. It's impossible now because He's living inside of you. Better for you that I go away, says Jesus. What? But you're right here. No. It's actually better for you that I'm not here anymore because you're going to receive the Holy Spirit here. And what's closer than the inside? Nothing, right? But I believe this. I believe there's actually, because it's a popular Christian phrase, there's a God-shaped hole inside of each and every one of us. I remember that for 17 years. I do. I remember the void I knew was there. But I want to challenge you with this today. And you know I love to look at weird little stuff, but I got to thinking about this. If the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, Mike, follow me on this one, then there must have been a space reserved for Him, right? Like, there must have been an actually God-shaped hole inside of each one of us so that He could come live inside of us, because this is not a metaphor. God literally lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, they wouldn't say it 365 times in the Bible, right? But, Mike, that means if there's space for Him in there, then there must be that space. So Creator God created us humans with an actual, like, God-shaped hole that He destined to be the space that He would then dwell with us. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, It's like, anybody ever work at a factory or something? You create something, and you leave a space in it for purpose. That blew my mind. Maybe it's not interesting to you people. I don't care. So wait, you're creating human beings. After the garden, you created every single human being with a specifically designed void. And God goes, yeah, because only I can fill that. And that's the space for me. Yeah, I left a space in each and every one of you for me. That's amazing, I think. So that's not my point, but I quite enjoyed that. Designed to be filled by him. Ahead of time, Creator created space for himself. I think that's awesome. So he comes to live inside of his adopted son or daughter. And the enemy, although also a spirit being, being Zuh, okay, let's not elevate Lucifer any higher than we should. He's a cherubim. The enemies of our souls cannot be inside of us who are filled by God. I mean, it can't happen, okay? If you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, all that stuff, it can't happen. Think about it this way. If a water jar is full, you can't pour more into it. You want to just talk physics, okay? So we've got this thing going on every day. I'm getting to a point. We're talking about how you feel. We're talking about, does God have feelings? Yes. Does he care how we feel? I showed you some things. But I want to talk about these feelings. For the believer, the enemy's only allowed to steer you. For the believer, God's inside of us. The enemy's actually only allowed to steer us from the outside. And this is huge. This is going to be so big for some people in this room because it was so big for me. The enemy can only use what we hear, see, choose to think on, while God is actually inside of us speaking from here. Two completely different languages and modes of communication. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to draw that for you in a second. The reason I want to tell you this is because inside of us, the Holy Spirit is truth versus the enemy trying to get you to agree with your feelings. Now let's see what this looks like. If you're listening online, I apologize. And I'm not a good enough artist to go putting this up on anywhere, really. So, watch this. Get this. This is huge. Now, for sake of speed, I'm not going to sit there and make a, awesome picture, okay? But you should get the point. Okay, so there's me. There's AJ, okay? Handsome guy. And humble, yeah. Okay, so there's this dude, okay? So what did we say? The believer says, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my king. I want you to come in my life, and I want you to save me. And I believe the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. I'm going to represent him with red like fire, okay? And I put him here because a lot of Eastern philosophies and things like this talk about the center of your energy and all this sort of stuff. I don't believe in all that sort of stuff. God is the creator of energy, but I can see where the center of our being would be here. So I'm not talking chakras, but maybe they're onto something. Who knows? Plus, it works for my illustration. So he's inside of us, and what's he doing? He's speaking to us truth. Regardless of how we feel, Jesus is the truth, right? And I told you before, now the enemy can only actually come at us from here, from the outside. And I'm going to, ears, yes, for what you hear, but also thoughts. Thoughts. He's not in here, guys, but he's able to whisper thoughts. Now, what are they doing? What is the battle for? I'll tell you what the battle is for. I guess I'll use black here. The battle is for the first thing I taught on, heart. The center of your being, who you really are. So you've got God speaking from within you, speaking truth. Constantly. Okay? And you've got the enemy trying to speak in. And the minute you agree with these thoughts, it goes down here and starts to shape who we are, our hearts. What's our heart? The sum of who we are. So there's the battleground right there. The enemy cannot do it from inside. We don't have to be afraid, but we can agree with it and be steered. Right? God is after our hearts. Does God care how you feel? Yes, absolutely. We've got to be very careful because how we feel cannot settle on what we crown truth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because, again, the whole point I said before was, well, geez, if God cares, I wouldn't be in this position. No, that's how we feel. Can I do Proverbs 4:23, please? Guard your above all else. It determines the course of your life. You have to actively decide which influence gets influence over you. And if you don't control you, who does? Do we agree with this or do we agree with that? We're talking about feelings today. We're talking about our hearts. Guard that heart. But I feel But is that truth? Feelings and truth are not the same thing. That's what I'm trying to get us. A lot of us have lived our lives by how we feel and sometimes wonder why we end up in a mess, okay? So we're going to do this. That was control of our, we need control of our hearts. And guess what? One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. We've got the power to do this now. We understand? God has feelings. God cares how we feel. But be careful with your feelings. Control them. The way you feel is not truth. In fact, you're in control of who gets control of you, okay? Now, the last thing I want to talk about, real quick, because again, some people feel scared, angry, in despair over our current president. What, you think I'm going to sidestep a challenge, guys? Really? Some people feel, and allow it to sit right here. And I want to say this. What's truth? We looked at it last week. The king's heart, let me read it to you. Proverbs 21:1. The truth is, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it wherever so, whithersoever it, he will. But the news is telling me, come on guys, the news is telling me it's all going to go right to in a handbasket and it's all going to, that's how you feel. That's not the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Nothing's going to happen without his authorization. But I feel, and they're saying, shut up. It's not truth. No, or you can live the next 4 years terrified with an ulcer and with angina. You understand what I'm saying? And I want to remind you. Some people were very scared and in despair 4 years ago in that election and lived the last 4 years. Wait, and then the one before that. Wait, and then the one before. Come on, guys. Do you see what I'm trying to say? But you choose what settles in here and guard your heart. That's it. Let's sing some worship. I praise God that he loves, that he cares how we feel and doesn't leave us alone in it.